Hello?
Yes.
Yes, is this Mr. Malachi Z. York?
This is McCool, Chief Black Thunderbird Eagle, Chief of Yamasee Native American Moors of the Creek Nation, BIA registry number 208/1999. That is when we registered with the Bureau of Indian Affairs. Our Constitution of Declaration of Indigenous Status has already been in existence since 1992. Yes, but they referred to me sometime as Malachi, and even to insult me, Dwight.
Yes, Chief, I would like, excuse me. It's okay.
I'm suffering from the flu, like so many other inmates in here is suffering from the flu, and they're not giving them proper medical attention. They're not giving them anything for the flu. They're giving them things like Tylenol, and they're requesting stuff, and inmates really walk around. Some spitting up blood and everything. It's just, there's no medical staff. So
do the doctors administer the medicine?
No, they got officers giving. They don't have no doctors giving out no medicine here. They have officers coming around giving out medicine.
Do they have licensed degrees to do that?
I don't think they do. I don't think they have a license. I can't say what they have in their back pocket.
Right.
But I don't see it. I don't see nothing on them.
So they've never presented that.
They don't have a button inside the cell. Once you lock down, there's no way for you to get the information outside unless you bang or scream up. And I've heard men bang and scream all night, coughing and choking, and they didn't even open up.
I want to get back into the reason why I guess it's such a threat that the Putnam County officials and things of that nature have been undergoing, I guess, since 1993, since the Yamasee relocated to their rightful lands.
Yes.
So what is it? You've written over 400 books, is that correct?
Yeah, about 408 books, and I'm still writing.
Okay.
And I've solved many problems. I dove into facts, nothing but facts. I'm not interested in opinions. I'm not interested in faiths. I'm not interested in beliefs. I talk about religion, whether it's talking about Christianity, Judaism, Islam, Buddhism, I don't care. I go into the facts. I've done intensive study, traveled around the world. I'm fluent in several languages, and I've translated books. That's what I do. They're so intimidated by the fact that that which I teach is starting to spread like wildfire. It's bringing people to a certain amount of consciousness. The kind of consciousness does is the people in the Rappian organization, as they call us, which is Yamasee Native American Moors, the Creek Nation, are actually doctors, lawyers, policemen, firemen, politicians, teachers, lay persons, private vendors, restaurant owners, entertainers, movie stars, you name it. This is the fastest growing organization. It's not racial, it's not restricted to the blacks as seals and what have you believe. There's many people in our tribe, because the Native Americans have mixed in with so many different people in America that we have different nationalities that are blended in. So we have levels, whether you're full blood, whether you're pure blood, full blood, half blood, whole blood, you can still be up under the same banner of the tribe. So it's really a very racial thing that they're doing, and they're afraid, they're petrified of what I teach and how well it's working to civilize people. In fact, the United States government wrote me a letter from the federal institution asking me could they use my books in the federal facilities to help inmates. Certain books in particular with the mind and the potential. The
and
same man that they call a criminal is a man they wrote a letter to, which can be made available for your office, right? Wrote a letter to ask him, can they use my books because the books are so helpful to the inmates. Because I stop inmates from running around trying to sneak and smoke. I stop them from using vulgarity. I stop them from doing all kinds of things. And it makes them want to study, start reading, and look forward to a better life. And that's what they're afraid of.
Right. And during the time period where they're alleging these crimes took place, how many books were written during that time period?
I can't even tell you, because I never stop writing. You have to talk to people who work on the books with me. I write books. I can't even tell you how many books. That's why, because I live my life day and night. I work on books. And I pass out, and I get back up in the morning, and I start again. That's me.
Right.
I live for books.
And so this is known, because I know that I've done research, and I've seen the amount of books that just came out during the 1993 period of which moving to Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess being that, what is a Nuwapian?
I'm not going to ever define that word to anybody. You know why? Because that's the question I'm putting before them. You keep referring to us as Nuwapians. My question to them is, what is a Nuwapian? And if you say a follower of Malachi Z. York, that's not it. That's not a definition. What is a Nuwapian? Because if you call a Christian a follower of Christ, it's because his name is Christ. So you can't call Nuwapians followers of Malachi, but they would be called Malachiites, not Nuwapians. So now I'm not going to tell you all what Nuwapian is, because one day I want to use that in court to say you've been identifying us as a cult, a semi-religious cult, a fanatical cult, and using the word Nuwapian, don't know whether you're spelling with a B or a P, don't know what language it comes from, and don't know what it really means. You follow?
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, you keep throwing it in the public just to avoid using your the Massey Native American Moors of the Creek Nation to identify that we are Native Americans, indigenous, the true people of this land. We call this land New Land before you got here, or we call it Turtle Island before the European tribes came here and infected it with their disease, or with their disease of hate and racism and war and drugs and pornography and all the things that they used against us that they brought here and established.
Okay, now are Nuwabians, are they limited to Georgia?
No. Nuwabians all over. You go on the internet, you'll find Nuwabians in London, you'll find Nuwabians in Holland, you'll find them in Africa, you'll find them in India, you'll find them in the Caribbean, you'll find them in South America, you'll find Nuwabians everywhere of every nationality. No.
Okay, and all these individuals have read the over 408 books that you're writing and still writing.
Well, I assume they read some that got involved and gotten involved, because the books are not written under Nuwabian. The book is written under the Massey Native American Moors, or some books are written under the Masonic Lodge, and I write for different... All the books are not written for Nuwabians.
Okay. Now, I heard about, I know the case was moved to Brunswick, Georgia,
uh-huh.
And I know the closing of the courtroom issue was because what I've read is that the Yamassee Native American Moors of the Creek Nation were invited by the Brunswick Downtown Development Authority to participate in a parade. What does that have anything to do with you? How does that have anything to do with your court case?
Well, what happened is the Judge Royal actually got involved because he felt that that was tainting the environment. See, he picks and chooses what taint means. Right, they were invited down there as a tribe of Native Americans, and they clearly stated to the people there that under the umbrella of our Native American name, Yamassee, there are different organizations within us, like the Masonic, the Eastern Star, the Shriners, the Almighty Shrine Temple, the Egyptian Church of Caress, the AEO, Ancient Egyptian Order, the Orders of Melchizedek, and different people from different, have their own fraternities that belong to our tribe. And that's how it was written up. When it got down there, they saw all these people in these Masonic aprons and this, you know, and they were like, wait a minute, y'all told us this, but they were Native American, the tribe was represented there in the parade also. So were the Egyptians and everything else. This scared them because the public got to see us in our true light, what we really are, and not some fanatical cult sitting around going, humma, humma, humma. You follow? And it scared them, so they jumped in and started standing on file suits, and they lied, they implemented my name, people like E-word, and classified me with the Grinch, and I'm filing a suit against them for that. And then the tribe is filing a suit against Brunswick for stepping in because we had to deal with the city, and the county stepped in where most of the racism takes place, and the mayor and the DA, and we filed suits against them. They're trying to block that. So they had the same judge from middle Georgia step all the way down there to southern Georgia and try to get involved in that so they can derail it. But in the process, all they did is gave more advertisement to Brunswick, and now he still wants to carry the trial down there, still pull a jury out of that same area that he openly admitted himself was already spoiled. He's totally violating all of my constitutional rights, and he's violating all the laws and procedures that go with getting a fair trial.
Mm-hmm. Now, in doing that, they mentioned something about some flyers being passed out and things of that nature.
Yes.
And I also heard that, was Sheriff Howard Richard Seals down there that
is? Yes, we found out Sheriff Howard Richard Seals, and his boy, we got pictures of him and his people. They had located them, so over 20 to 50 miles. They jumped over about 30-something other sheriff's departments to be down there in so-called undercover clothes, right? And they could have been one passed out the flyers. What I noticed when I saw a copy of the flyer under my name, and my age as 18-something and 17-something, nobody in my tribe would have done that, because they know how important it is. Because that's when I was born, the year the Constitution of the United States was established, June 26, 1945. That's the year I was born, so that's a very important year. We know what that meant. So we wouldn't have, you look on that, under the picture that I saw of me, somebody made a copy of it and put it in that. They pasted it together and put it together and was stupid. That was all part of Seals. I believe the judge working with him and all that there to cross this here so they can close the court down, because they don't want the public to hear this trial. They don't want the public to see this trial. And if I thought I was such an evil man, why would I want my trial public? Shouldn't I be trying to hide this? As vulgar as that sounds, with all that stuff they're saying, all that lust and all that sex and all that racketeering, would I want to have an open trial? Wouldn't I be saying, great, I'm glad they're having a private trial?
Right.
In fact, I'm saying, give me an open trial. I want the world to watch this trial. Tells you right there that I want the public to see it. And the fact that they don't, it tells you right there they have something they're trying to hide from y'all.
Right. And I know that throughout this whole entire time, the tribe, the Yamassee Native American Moors, the Creek Nation, have always been there in your support, whether they can get in the courtroom or whether they can't.
That's right.
Now, I've seen the signs, and I've seen different protests and actually peaceful protests just
right.
In their First Amendment. How did the judge say that would affect during the trial?
What the judge is trying to imply is that the protests will kids, I keep saying kids, but they're not children, that's a fact. Let it be known that none of them are children.
Okay.
There's nobody underage with a child, no one underage ever reported being pregnant, or no one underage ever reported being pregnant and having an abortion while it was under the aspects of our organization.
Mm.
So, but he's doing all that there to use as an excuse to derail this case, to keep it from hitting public, because Monday is going to be a frightening day to them when they finish their open statement, and they're going to see the power and the amount of energy and the lawyers we're bringing and all the evidence we have. They got to keep the public from knowing that, otherwise the case is really over.
Hmm. Now, this whole entire case began because of an anonymous letter. That, when was that?
That was way back in 1997 by Pauline Rogers, who they don't want to use now because after doing it, they found out that she had already admitted and came over to our side and did affidavit videotapes telling the truth of how she was bribed, how they offered her money, and the different things they put up throughout in Clark County, how her and Sakina Parham was meeting in the library with the Constitutional General Bill Osinski and different things like that, setting these plots up. And so now that she didn't tell the truth, they don't want to use that. But the worst thing about it is the fact that that letter was said, if it made me such a dangerous person, when we read her 302s, right? If it made me such a dangerous person, Seals let me roam the street from 1997 to 2002 and leave all these kids in that danger because his statement was he didn't have enough evidence. So what by evidence he means he needs me to do more things. So basically he's saying I need him to do more things to children so I can get a stronger case.
Mm.
And wouldn't that endanger the children?
Mm.
So that shows right there that they're violent. That's called reckless endangerment. This man, he's a dangerous man. Damn it. And whoever worked with him on the case, whether Jelaine Ward, Baskins, right, whoever worked with him in that period of time was saying it's all right for this dangerous man to roam the street from 1997 to 2003, and he's a dangerous children, he's a pseudo-pedophile, and he does this, he does that, he does that. But we ain't going to arrest him yet because we need to catch him doing things so when we catch him, we can use that in court. They come up at the end of the day, and we speak down in court, Moultrie stands up and says, we have no videotapes of Mr. York doing anything with anybody. Oh, yeah, we have a couple of videos of him going in and out of Red Lobster.
Mm-hmm.
But they never mentioned right before Red Lobster, we went into a Bible store and bought Bibles. That's what they don't want to tell people. They want to cut out what they want. But there's nothing me doing anything with anybody. There's no videotapes of me doing anything. No pictures of me with no chills in any form or fashion. Mm-hmm. So if you've been doing this since 1997 and you're erased in 2003, how is that possible you didn't catch me in any uncompromising situations ever in that period of time? How is that possible?
And if I'm not mistaken, they didn't find any DNA evidence and the medical evidence.
They found no DNA, man. They took pillows and blankets and sheets and stripped them, and had they admit there's no DNA. If I was performing all these illicit acts on this pillow, there would be some DNA. If I was doing it, they found a stuffed animal up the hill with a phallic on it and said, see, but if you're saying the pedophiles used their tools, it wouldn't have been up discarded in some hill and some shed. It would have been with me in my house in Athens.
Hmm.
Then they say that they found films, which is supposed to be cartoon animated sex films. But then they have the 302s and the so-called lead witnesses saying, I watch and destroy all his films.
Mm.
So if I destroyed all my films and you watched me, then whose film did you find in Athens in that little closet or cupboard that you said you found it in?
Mm.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
Whose film was that? There had to be the only person who would know to put something and where to put it at.
Mm.
Because she was the one who was taking care of 155 House and running the business over there. And running the bank, running everything, along with, Nicole Harden.
Right.
And another one called Chester. Used to work with her till they got rid of her and didn't need her no more.
Right. So basically, with everything that's been said and done, they basically wanted to go forward with this plea to hurry up the case.
That's
they
right.
Tortured you.
That's right.
And then once you...
Tortured me into pleading. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sorry.
And once you basically realized the plot and the ploy and the fight for your life and the
right.
Torture and your family was more involved because you had access to the phone and
right.
Things of that nature, then it began to shed that attorney Ed Garland was really behind this whole thing.
I thought he was a part of it. Once I got a chance to get to the media, get a chance to get to a telephone, remember, they didn't let me get to a telephone and talk to my family for 5 minutes. The best I could say, how y'all doing? Is the kids okay? That was it, Pip. So once I got a chance to see that Kathy Johnson was out and she went back on the medication, even though her condition has degraded terribly, which is going to be a problem, and that Lampkin and Merritt was back out, and I was the only one that they were still torturing. As long as I was safe with that, then I said, now it's time for us to put up our fight, let's get rid of these lawyers, and let's get on the ball and bring the public's eye to this.
Right.
And that's what they're trying to block right now.
This is a very tremendous case.
Well, let's bring everybody in. Let's bring the Black Panthers Party, let's bring the Black Muslims in, let's bring the Hebrew Israelites in, let's bring the NAACP, let's bring Rainbow Bush Coalition, let's bring Gabriel, let's put them all on the spot, and let's bring Sonny Perdue, who on videotape said he's going to address this situation.
Hmm.
And we have a videotape them saying, don't let him off the hook.
Right.
Thank you.
So as an indigenous person, you are claiming your indigenous status.
My indigenous status is Native American. quite well to know that I'm a Native American. You might see I'm the chief of the United Native American Moors and Creek Nation. Our land stands from Alabama to the tips of North Carolina to all the way down to the tips of Florida, straight on across the savannah. That is our land. All the Europeans, or Europe, they're not Europeans, they're Euro-Americans who are here, need to go back home where they belong, because all they brought with them was a lot of trouble.
Hello?
Hey.
Hi.
This tape is on?
Yes, it is.
This tape is being made January 1st, 2004, while still incarcerated in Jones County Jail. Right? Awaiting to be transferred to Brunswick to start trial on January the 5th. This is Maku, Chief Black Thunderbird, Chief of the Yamassee Native American Moors of the Creek Nation, registry number with the Bureau of Indian Affairs 208/1999.
Yes, Chief Black Thunderbird Eagle, I have another question for you.
Uh-huh.
The way the media is talking about this case has considerably changed.
Uh-huh.
What is your position on that?
If you really listen to it, you can see from way back in May 5th when it went out in the public and they told people in 2002, we got all these charges, this man's a convicted felon, he's an ex-rapist, and you know what I mean, and he's a pseudo-pedophile, and da-da-da-da-da, and a cult leader, and such and such, and he pretends himself out to be God and all that there. And then the charges jumps into transporting minors across the state line for sexual purposes. And then all of a sudden now, it's a RICO charge and a minor that was not a minor at all, right? And it is all has been watered down. The public's not hearing that the drama has been watered away. They're going to have to confront respond to the public with the truth. They've now watered it down. Mm. And it's simple things like child molestation charges and RICO charges. Mr. Yard will be charged with child molestation. What happened to all that drama and all the facts? What happened to the fact that they found that I'm not a convicted felon and never was? So I have to return the guns. What happened to those people? All the different things that over this period of time has come to pass and has come to be true, right? And all the lies that they perpetrated by the media has become to be untrue. Why is the public not being told that?
Right. Because
that's why it's changing, and that's why they're watering it down now. Because when they get into the court and it gets black and white, and it's going to come out where he's never been a convicted felon, he's never raped anybody, he's never did this, he never did that. He didn't transport a minor across the state line. He has no RICO violation. What the heck is going on here?
Right.
Then it's going to become clear. And right now, these are longest days in their lives, too. Trying to figure out what they're going to do between now and the time this stuff is public.
Right. Now, I noticed in, May 8th of 2002, they basically denied you your presumption of innocence, even at the, without being...
Judge Hicks.
Judge
Magistrate
Hicks, yes.
Judge Middle just rejoined him.
That was May 13th of 2002. Now, he also put on the record that one of the reasons for your, continued detention was for the fact that you had a criminal record and you were a felon. But isn't it a fact that a lawyer in New York sent some information down?
That's right. Lawyer that I had up there, I'm trying to think of his name.
I believe, if I'm right, it was Jonathan Marks.
Jonathan Marks, attorney, Jonathan Marks, called down during the period of the court case, spoke directly to Mr. Manny Arroyo on the phone and cleared up on the spot that I was never a convicted felon.
Right.
And that was supposed to be it right there. I should have been able to make bond. But Mr. Garland working with them was not about letting me get on bond. And if I got on bond, I'd be able to work on the case.
Right. Now, was your bond the bond decision that was denied, was that ever appealed?
No. It had 10 days of appeal. When I asked him, Mr. Garland, why didn't he appeal it? He said, well, he knows those old crackers down in that little town, and they're not going to ever give you bond. He was taking it upon himself to be working with them.
I've done research on the other child molestation cases that have come up in the last 5 or 6 years, and the Catholic priest, and now even as recent as Michael Jackson, he was given bond for $3 million. Now, did the attorneys, Ed Garland, ever explain to you why he did not go for bond?
He kept saying, literally, they're not going to give you bond. In fact, the Catholic ministers were back on television last night about the same complaint. And they say they're not going to disclose any information about them because it violates their religious rights.
Mm.
They better be careful calling us a religious organization because that'll become a clause for the thing to be going to undercover.
Mm.
So no, Garland was never intended for me to get on bond. After he said it repeatedly, he never intended to let me in the street. They put this whole thing up. In fact, Judge Hicks actually got there and them didn't do nothing about it.
Now that is a travesty. That's a definite injustice.
That injustice is going to be addressed. It's going to be addressed in the filed to suit for ineffective counsel is being done against the Garland firm.
Right.
I'm going to stop blacks from wanting to go to that firm and trusting them.
Right. Now you have there's also a torture civil suit out. I've learned about that, you know, looking at the news. What is your position on the torture civil suit?
I let the public know that regardless of how this trial goes, I've been tortured. I've been treated inhumanely. I filed it with the Hague. I filed it with the international community in Geneva. It's on record there. It's on file with an organization called the NGO, which means non. So I'm an honorary member. My number is RN900. Right, the organization is the same as the International League for Human Rights. People, we have people there working. The paper documents have already been filed. There's a bunch of other things that are going on that the people in this case, the judge and his clan of friends, don't have no idea what's going on with the international community. I've been filing about the way I've been tortured and treated inhumanely, how my constitutional rights was taken away, how my right to a fair trial, my right to a speedy trial was removed. Everything was removed, just totally, just so they can proceed on with what they want to do. And it will not go unaddressed.
Right. Now, Judge, deal with the judge. Judge Watson was recused from this case. What was the reason for Judge Lawson's recusal? He was recused from this case for some violation.
First of all, I never understood what the PSI and stuff was. But what happened is the judge came in and he was part of the Klan so bad he wanted to give me more time because he figured by the time they found out that I wasn't a convicted felon, the so-called numbers on the PSI dropped. And I would have been put in, I might have got out based on the amount of time I had already served. Because when you serve time, the maximum confinement in effect, most lawyers can get that double time. If I also put that year and a half, it came out to be 3 years. And so that, based on the charges and how far my PS number went down, I would have been out. And they saw that, so they said, let's up with the part. But then in the process, he gave himself away, and it reflected they had a private meeting and was trying to figure out how to go up to 20 years so they can guarantee I stay in prison. You follow? And in doing that, he violated a rule called Rule 11, which I later found out. Like I said before, I didn't know nothing about all this stuff until I got locked up and started getting a chance to study in this last minute. He violated Rule 11 or something, where a judge is not supposed to interfere with the probational procedures or the PSI procedures until after the hearing. And then they had a private hearing, and I wasn't there, and I should have been there physically. So Garland and them all working together started trying to protect themselves, and they rearranged everything and went through the stage and phases that we're at now.
Right. Now, you sound very well learned in the legal as far as your case is concerned, mm-hmm. but what is the reason for that? The attorneys never came to see you, and I know that some people, they're, as inmates, they don't have access to the phone and things of that nature, or even access to family members to help them out. So how were you able to get the information you have now about your case if the attorneys weren't coming to see you?
Well, what happened is at a certain point, they gave me access to a visit with my daughters, right? And they would bring me information about the case, and it would be within 5 religious documents. So I'd say, here's some religious paperwork, and they say, okay, here, and they let me have it in manila envelopes. And I'd be able to study it, answer them, and then when I finally got access to the phone, which is very rarely, my family will confirm this, I'd be able to blast out as much as I can. Then I would talk to other inmates that I finally got a chance to be around, because at first I was not allowed to be around anybody except for the first couple of months when I was locked in the cell with all these criminals, and they locked me in the cell by myself. So I was, people started helping, then lawyers started coming on, people started sensing my daughters and them went crazy out there trying to reach me and get things out to me, so they started calling people and getting things done. My sister was being manipulated by the violent and low firm, so she wouldn't really help. And so that's how we got this far.
Now, and being in the facility, of course, under the worst of conditions.
Yes.
But what have you experienced about the legal and criminal justice system?
It's amazing. They got a whole system set up now just to lock people up. It's a whole game, and they're putting away people by the 100,000, whites and blacks. They got 2 different forms. One is crack for blacks, and is amphetamine, for whites. Right? And they're locking these people away 10, 20, and 30 years. Boys, 19, 20 years old, by conspiracy, just on the fact that someone gets up and says, yes, that person saw me. There's no verification, no proof, no videos, no exchanges, just some person saying it. Yeah, that guy did that. He sold me this here. And that person could be an outright criminal, make a deal with them called immunity, right, for some charges that person did, and that person to point the finger out and have another person put in jail for 10, 15 years. Just that easy.
Hmm. Now, what is your experience on, like, the attorneys do other... I mean, what is your experience in visualizing other inmates' cases, basically, with your own?
I'm watching inmates get destroyed in here.
Hmm.
They're destroying people's lives by the hundreds. It's a racket. Like, it's like a manufacturing. To make, see, part of it is to take away their right to vote, because when they get a felon, they become a felon, they can't vote.
Hmm.
To try to make sure every young black man is arrested, every Latino man is arrested, every person of color is arrested with a felony, regardless of how small, so they can't be a vote problem.
Hmm.
You follow? Then they get them infected in the drugs that they bring over here. And only, I mean, most of these, 90% of them are drug dealers or drug users. That's the only way they can survive. I mean, it's, and they just take them through systems, it's lies, and set up, it's an ongoing circle. I see people commit suicide, hang themselves, people stabbing each other up. I mean, it, you know, there's gangs in there, and they have different signs, and they're being on the right sign. It's a very sad situation.
Right. And
whoever created it.
And now, with the fact that, I'm going back to Attorney Ed Garland.
Yes.
Spark my thought. Wait, he never visited you. How many times would you say he visited you while you've been incarcerated?
Wow, about 3 times.
Three times in the matter of 30 years.
And most of that was accompanied by somebody. He'd never say anything. He'd have them do all the talking.
Okay, now have any of these facilities ever allowed you to get legal mail otherwise from concerned people that just care about your case?
No, they would block my legal mail. They would make sure I only got something from Ed Garland, and now I realized that was done through his firm, and he never really said anything. So he wouldn't let nobody else in. I realized now these officers here were all working with him, so if anybody else tried to let me get any legal mail, which I was supposed to get legal mail from my family or any other legal institution, like the Presumption of Innocence Organization or Foundation, they actually open their legal mail.
Mm-hmm.
And they still to this day open your legal mail here.
Mm-hmm.
And tell you by law they're not supposed to. So the only package I ever get unopened is Garland's packages. They're all working together.
Right. But as far as the whole continuance and things of that nature, what was the Judge C. Ashley Royal's position on you?
The judge was doing everything in his power not to get a continuance because he was afraid. He did not want a continuance because he knew with a continuance I have a chance to work with some attorneys for the first time. And he knows I'm articulate. If I can work with those lawyers, we got this thing beat. So he's trying to make sure these new lawyers, who by the way happen to be Native Americans or what they might call blacks, black colored people, right, were hindered. So I said, by law, I have a right to have a continuance so I may be able to work with the lawyer because you said I was getting evaluated because I would not cooperate with my attorneys. That's your own statement. So now I'm saying, hey, I got attorneys. I'm getting ready to cooperate. Then give us some time to get the case together before we can rush. But because he's from Brunswick, he had this thing set around New Year's and having a good time and going home. If I, he just totally ignored it. So I'm going on anyway. I don't care what anything's on. So we have to show him that this country is not governed by him. It's governed by laws. He just falls in it. He's not the government.
This is definitely a battle.
It's definitely a battle. It's a war. So you're another Yamassi war. We are running 1715.
Right.
We have another one now.
Okay. Sounds like you will persevere.
We will. We will. We will.